I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I know we're in lessons from Nehemiah. I'll get to that in just a second. But please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. If you're using our pew Bibles, then I'd invite you to turn to pages 1178, and it continues on to 1179. Actually, verses 7 through 11, which we'll look at later on, occur on page 1179. So I would invite you to turn there in your pew Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 4. And when you get there, if you would mark your place so we can turn back there quickly near the end of our message, mark your place there at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, and then turn to Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3 is our primary passage for this morning. This message series is perhaps my most practical that I've preached in a very long while. And that doesn't mean that we're in this message series getting or giving three steps to success or four keys to being a great church. But try not to do that, because it doesn't seem to be the biblical pattern. That is the model pattern that we find in Scripture. The Scriptures seem to commend an approach that proclaims the word of the Lord, then relies on the Holy Spirit to implant and grow God's word in God's people. One of the results of this approach that seems to be the biblical pattern is that each individual here in the congregation can hear something very personal and relevant to where you are that may not, in fact, be relevant to the person sitting next to you or across the congregation. And on this side of the cross, the pattern that we see in Scripture, on this side of the cross, where Jesus offered himself up as the perfect and perfectly satisfactory substitute for sin, and on this side of the resurrection, which demonstrated once and for all the sufficiency of Jesus' sacrifice and his victory over sin and death, and on this side of Pentecost, when God the Holy Spirit took up his personal residence within his people, the biblical pattern seems to be the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Not steps to do this and keys to do that, but the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a call to believing that gospel which is proclaimed, and a call to repentance and faith in Jesus and what he has done, and a call to give our lives and our eternities to God in Christ. This seems to be the focal point of all preaching in the Bible, at least the New Testament. And the practical nature of this Lessons from Nehemiah series comes directly from the text of Scripture. In other words, it's not us making up three points that'll make us live a better life this week. They're coming directly from the text of Scripture in very practical ways, and this week's message is an extension of last week's, as we looked at our need to allow God to rebuild his house by laying a foundation for action. In order to move from where we are to where we need to be, doing what we need to be doing, we must first understand and accept and express who we are and whose we are. And if we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ, chosen by God in him before the foundation of the world, if we are a local expression of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, comprised of like-minded followers of Jesus, then we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we've been brought into eternal life, the very life of Christ, by the power of the resurrection, who is the Holy Spirit. And so we literally belong to God in Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for us. Now, I do want to pause here for a moment, because if you are, and if I am, normal, average North Americans, steeped in the conceptual frameworks of democracy and freedom and individualism, the idea that we belong to someone else, that we are owned even by God, might well be repugnant to our ears. But the thing is, the biblical thing is, that if we do not belong wholly to God in Christ, we are His and His alone, literally purchased back from sin, the world, death, and the devil, then we remain in our sin and we continue to be in bondage to our sin, and we are separated from God. Now, we're all in process. We're at varying levels of being owned by God for sure, if we are His at all. But still, if we are not His, then we need to understand, if we remain solely our own, then we are not free in any real or biblical sense. And worse, the Bible says we are without God and without hope in the world. But if we belong to God in Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for us, then we are now free to live by the power of the Holy Spirit lives that God intends for us, even to give our lives in service of other people we do not know and we never met, because Christ has given himself up for them too. And the foundation for our action, whether for our individual lives or for our ministries as a local congregation, has already been laid. And this is the main point from last week's message. And among the several passages of Scripture that we could look at, we get this idea, this profound truth, most clearly, I think, from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, Paul speaking by the Holy Spirit here, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Watch this now. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day, speaking of the day of judgment, will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And this profound biblical truth led us then last week right into making an application. That's what it was, an application for our lives and ministry in the form of our central truth of the message from last Sunday. Here it is, just for our memory. God's people, the church, if we are God's people, the church, and especially Christ's appointed leaders, if we have been appointed by Christ, must ensure that we build on the proper foundation. You'll notice that foundation is capitalized with an F. It's because it refers to Jesus Christ. He is the only foundation which has been laid and can be built on for eternal consequence. for individuals as well as for entire congregations. We must ensure that we build upon the proper foundation with the proper materials. That would be the gold, silver, and precious stone, not the hay, straw, and stubble. And with the commitment to move forward in faith, which faith is always expressed through obedience. And so we took a moment to consider together two fundamental questions, and I'd like just to pose them and move on this morning. Are we building on the church's one and only foundation, which is Jesus Christ? We noted last week that there are many supposed foundations being promoted out there. Are we building on the church's one and only foundation, which is Jesus Christ? And secondly, will our building material survive the refining fires of God's holy judgment? Will they stand? Will they last on into eternity? The gold, silver, and precious stones? Or will they be burnt up like hay, straw, and stubble? Those two questions remain open for us, I think, as we can contemplate a future that will not look like our past in many ways. Informed by our past, for sure, but distinctively different from it. So we're building on our message from last week, and to be honest, the five others before that one, as we look this morning at rebuilding God's house by pitching in and working together. And as we look to our text from the last few verses of Nehemiah chapter 2 and selected verses from chapter 3, let's organize our thoughts around this central truth. You have one set of blanks to fill in. It's your central truth. It's on the inside right near the bottom. I'd invite you to fill in some blanks here. Here is our central truth around which we organize our thoughts this morning. If God is to rebuild his house in us, I've noted a number of times that whenever there's a conditional, it's the most important aspect of a sentence. Here it is. If God is to rebuild his house in us, and please note that the conditional is not God's. It's ours. Will we be the sort of people that God can build with? God will rebuild his house. The question is, will he do it with us? Are we receptive to his rebuilding work? Will we allow him to reform and refashion us into a house of his own? If God is to rebuild his house in us by his grace and mercy, it won't be because of our merit. Salvation and the life of faith are both by God's grace and mercy. We don't just need God's grace and mercy for salvation, and then we go on autopilot after us, doing as we will. Both God's grace and God's mercy are required for the entire Christian life. And if God is to rebuild his house in us, it will be by his grace and mercy, and it will also include every individual. If you are here this morning, say amen. There are several people not here this morning. This applies to every single one of us. Not a single exception, not because of age, not because of education, not because of social and financial standing, not because of any other thing are we accepted. It will include every individual, every family, and every leader to do our part. I want you to notice I didn't say your part. We're in this together. It will require all of us to do our part. Now, my part is not your part, and your part is not my part. I can't do your part, and you can't do my part. But the way that God works is that he puts us together as if a stone in a wall, surrounded by mortar. We could call that God's word and his spirit. And he puts us together in a way only he could and only he would conceive. And it requires all of us to do our part working together. responding in faith, and that faith is always, I keep coming back to this because I continue to myself struggle with this concept, and I find people who struggle with this concept, that faith is something that we believe. It's not. Faith is expressed in obedience to God's word as revealed by his Spirit. Faith is not static. It's something active, and it moves forward in obedience and relying on God's Spirit and word to guide and equip us. That might sound familiar. I want you to look at the front of your bulletin. At the bottom, you'll see below the black line, you'll see the mission statement that we adopted in May and that we are moving forward to implement. Bethesda Church exists to glorify God by joining Jesus in making his disciples from all nations, comma, relying on God's Spirit and word to guide and equip us. So this is where we're going. We'll do it quickly, right after I pray. Father, thank you for this word of yours. Thank you for bringing us to this point. I pray that you would speak to us in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we ended up in Nehemiah chapter 2, there verse 17 in the last few verses. And I think what I'll do this morning, to allay any fears or future concerns, I think what I'll do is just introduce the message for next week. The last thing that we did last week is we looked from Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning there with verse 17, and we saw that this laying of a foundation, leading into pitching in and working together, we saw here that it requires an accurate and honest assessment of the situation. You recall in chapter 2, Nehemiah has moved to rally people, and he has done a survey of the ground of Jerusalem, and he is astounded and dismayed by the disrepair that Jerusalem has undergone. In fact, at one point, the rubble of the walls that have been broken down is so immense that he can't even find a passage for the horse that he is riding. Whatever we have experienced in church, whatever Bethesda has experienced before, whatever is our condition today, it isn't that bad. And yet God sent Nehemiah to rebuild. But it requires an honest and accurate assessment of the situation, which Nehemiah gives to the folks that he had rallied to do this work with him. Verse 17, "Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. How Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king," speaking here, the king of Babylon, Artaxerxes, "had spoken to him to allow him to go and do this work and even provide everything that Nehemiah needed." A pagan king providing everything Nehemiah needed to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. That truly was a miracle of God. God will provide everything we need to respond to his call. All we need is the faith to respond. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. You'll also recall that whenever we step out in faith, intending to fulfill God's word to us, we will encounter opposition. Opposition comes. It will come. We ought not be dismayed or surprised by it. And here are what I might call Nehemiah's hecklers, verse 19, "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard it, they jeered at us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?' Then I replied to them, 'The God of heaven will make us prosper. And we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem." I hope you'll come back next week. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this, your word. Thank you also for this service of worship. Thank you for the message that your table is, this message of reconciliation through the blood of Christ, through the broken body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the message in the songs that we have sung today and the children's time concerning your coming, and that you are the Prince of Peace and you have come to reconcile us to God, to make us at peace while we were yet your enemies. Thank you for this message that Mike has brought concerning the Afghan people and how, as he and others with Pamir Productions and OM continue to do their work faithfully and as well as they possibly can, it's not in their technical skills and abilities and excellence. It is your word by your Spirit that speaks to people and is speaking to people in Afghanistan right now as they hear your gospel proclaimed in their own language and in a way that they can connect with. And people are calling and asking for Bibles and reading your word together, whether it's in a text message or from an actual Bible with their families. And thank you for this message. May we, in Nehemiah, about how you rebuild your house and that you continue your rebuilding work. We noted a number of weeks ago that one of the principles that came out of the Reformation, whose children in many ways we are, is that the church ought to be constantly in a process of reform, but we get static. We stop moving forward. We stop growing. We become comfortable and we just want to hang out. I pray that we would be the sort of people that you could rebuild and reform. Allow us to know you. Allow us to know what it is to be the disciples of Jesus Christ, changed by your word, led by your Spirit, the righteousness of God. In Jesus' name.